Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. This is Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We're going to talk Mississippi State and Ole Miss for the next half hour or so. Logan, how are you, man?
Doing good, Parrish. Recuperating from a Super Bulldog weekend. I know you've covered a few of those in the past, and I'm sure you've dealt with a lot of the same things that I've dealt with over the weekend. Just a busy weekend when you have those spring football weekends going on and a home baseball series as well. And it just makes for a long weekend. You kind of feel like you can sort of breathe when it's all over with, because you know it's all downhill with just baseball left on the sports calendar, and we're down to that now.
Yeah, I've done some Super Bulldog weekends. Those were back in the past now. I did cover Mississippi State many moons ago, and I remember that was kind of when Super Bulldog weekend was just getting started, and now most schools have their own version of that. Ole Miss didn't have one last year, because they were doing renovations to the stadium, and it was kind of nice. It was kind of nice just to go over there and have football one weekend and baseball the weekend after that. But anyway, let's talk some spring football. We're going to get there, folks. Before we do, I want to remind you of some other podcasts to be on the lookout for. Check out The Memo, our news podcast, All Things Northeast Mississippi. That comes to you every Wednesday and Friday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, and check out Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs. That's every Wednesday with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps, and Logan and I are back here with you on Thursday or Friday with Double Coverage. Logan, start us off with Mississippi State, man. I know that most of spring practice was not open for media to observe, but they did open the spring game. Tell us what you learned.
Well, I learned what the team looked like. That's kind of about what I learned. I was very impressed with what Ty Francis' defense brought to the table. That's kind of the thing that stood out to me the most. I mean, they had 16 tackles for loss, 10 sacks. And of those 10 sacks, Parrish, they were by 9 different players. So a lot of different blitzes and a lot of different guys getting to the quarterback during that game. And oh, by the way, they also had 5 interceptions and returned 2 of those to the house for touchdowns. So a very aggressive defense. Now, you know, you have to take that kind of with a grain of salt, because it was a spring game. Mississippi State sort of had a patchwork offensive line on both teams. Two of the starters, Elkin Jenkins and Deion Calhoun, set out all of spring. So that's 2 of your starters off right away. And then, you know, you've only got 3 other starters left on the offensive line. And, you know, and they were kind of split those up on Saturday, too. So, you know, a lot of guys in a lot of different places is breaking in a new center. Nick Fitzgerald, 4 interceptions on the day, and all those came in the first half. And that was kind of something sort of unexpected. But, you know, once you look at the broader scheme of things, you can kind of see it. 2 of those I put on Nick Fitzgerald, they were his fault. 2 of them were the receiver's fault. One of them bounced off the receiver's hands and was picked off and returned 81 yards for a touchdown by Cameron Dainsworth. The other one that I don't blame on him was a throw to the corner of the end zone to Jamal Couch, who's 6'4", and he didn't much of an effort to go after the football. And Cameron Dainsworth again jumped up in the air and picked it off in the end zone. And it just wasn't a whole lot of effort on Jamal Couch's part to go after the football. And yeah, they're going to need those young receivers. I still consider him young. He played last year a little bit as a true freshman. But him, Osiris Mitchell, and Reggie Todd, they were all came in at 2016 signing class, all over 6'4". Big long receivers, and they really need them to step up and have a good year this upcoming fall. But in that same regard with Nick Fitzgerald, he didn't have a lot of his top receivers in the game. Donald Gray didn't play in the game. Deer did not play in the game. We found out yesterday that Malik Deer tore his ACL early on in spring practice. He's already underwent surgery. He'll miss the next few months. It'll demo to be probably mid-August.
And Logan, you get that with spring football quite often, you know, players being held out, coaches being cautious with their best players and trying to make sure everybody is as healthy as possible, you know, when the season does roll around. And Ole Miss had some of that as well. Before we get to the Ole Miss spring game, really the biggest news, around spring football was not with the current players, but one of the former ones this week, Chad Kelly. You know, he's trying to position himself to be drafted, trying to impress NFL scouts, trying to prove to him that he is mature both on the field and off. The off seems to be the bigger question that continues to follow him. I'll tell you, Logan, you know, people know this story. They know about Chad Kelly and Clemson and the arrest and whatnot before he started at Ole Miss. I think Chad Kelly rehabilitated himself at Ole Miss. I think Chad Kelly at Ole Miss got along with his teammates, which he did not always do at Clemson, got along with his coaches. He was a good teammate and a team player in that regard. So I think he improved in that area, you know, of his life at Ole Miss. He had a couple of social media events that went viral and showed that he does need to continue to improve his judgment. But by and large, you know, the past for Kelly is something that's, you know, continued to be a problem. And he's having to answer questions about that. But the end of the day, he's going to get a chance in the NFL if he can be healthy enough to you know, to get there. You know, he had the ACL tear last November, and now all of a sudden, you know, he comes back from the ACL. He goes down to the Senior Bowl, participates in meeting and that sort of thing, but he really could not, you know, participate in the physical aspects of the Senior Bowl week. He did not get the invitation to the combine. A lot of focus was on pro day at Ole Miss for Chad Kelly. And then he comes up with a wrist injury. Well, you know, they didn't understand how major it was. You know, there was the possibility even that he would resume his workout on pro day. They come out and tell us, well, he's not going to throw, but they're going to set a private workout for Chad Kelly for April 22nd. Well, lo and behold, there was wrist surgery for Chad Kelly on Monday of this week. So now he's out for 3 months. He won't do anything. He won't do any throwing before the draft. But, you know, he's hopeful that he will be drafted and that he'll get an opportunity in an NFL camp. And by the time that camp begins, he'll be ready to throw again. And his agents say he'll be in, you know, 100% condition because, you know, he's able to do things with his lower body, with his knees and all of that. He's in good shape and will continue to work out. He only will not be able to throw. But on the field, let's start with the quarterbacks as well because, you know, it's Shea Patterson's show. Everyone knows that. But the junior college transfer quarterback who came in December, Jordan Tamu, they didn't really know what they were getting. They were hopeful that they'd get, you know, a good player and someone who could take over if there's an injury to Shea Patterson. But Tamu was pretty impressive in the spring with his mobility and accuracy. He had a good spring game as well, completed several deep balls. But as you mentioned, the players who did not play for Mississippi State, there were key players out for Ole Miss in the secondary. And a couple of those deep balls he completed were against guys that I didn't even know before last Saturday. But you mess up on that stage, Logan, and everybody kind of gets to see you. But I did think Jordan Tamu was one of the surprises of spring and a good surprise. I'm not sure that if something happened to Shea Patterson early in the year that they still wouldn't move Jason Pellerin back to quarterback and try and get him ready. But Tamu looks like somebody who could help the team in an emergency and perhaps even more than that. We'll see. But the Chad Kelly wrist was kind of the big news of the week. Other than quarterback, I mentioned Jason Pellerin. You know, there's a lot of excitement, I guess anticipation, Logan, for his move to tight end. Ole Miss had, I think, the best tight end in the nation last year in Evan Engram. He was not a finalist for the Mackey Award, which, you know, was, you know, he got overlooked there. I think people were looking more for that guy that puts his hand in the ground and blocks also on that. And a lot of people just consider Ingram a big wide receiver. But, you know, he's a tight end by position. He goes to the combine. He's the fastest tight end there. And, you know, he really helped himself in the run-up to the draft. That's who they're trying to replace, a guy with 65 catches and almost 1,000 yards last year. They're not going to do that with one person. And watching Pellerin this spring, I think he's going to do good things as a tight end. And when you say tight end in this Ole Miss offense, you're really thinking of a more hybrid position. You know, it's the tight ends are rarely tight. You know, they rarely line up next to the tackle. They're usually split out. And if there's somebody in the game who is going to block and line up next to the tackle, that's probably going to be sophomore Octavius Cooley. But Pellerin did some good things in the spring. I didn't see any real wow plays from him. Logan, he's still learning the position. And I'll tell you that the athletic tight end, I think, who might get the first look here is going to be walk-on Dawson Knox, a very athletic player in his own right, not the big physical athlete that Pellerin is, not going to break a lot of tackles after he makes the catch. But he's a guy that can really move, has savvy ball skills, a guy who won a dunk contest in high school. So, you know, he can leap as well, and he's really impressed coaches, Dawson Knox. So when you talk about replacing Evan Ingram at Ole Miss next season, I think you're going to look at three players and not just one. Defensively, and we talked a little bit about Breland Speaks last week, listening to Wesley McGriff, the new coordinator, after the spring game on Saturday, still really high on Breland Speaks at tackle, very high on Miles Hartsfield. Hartsfield has played corner as opposed to safety where he played last year. He's played corner most of the spring, but McGriff did not commit to Hartsfield staying at corner. Hartsfield could help this team at a safety position. Again, it just depends on the development of other guys and what they see from Hartsfield as August practice gets underway. But I think the corners, they're going to be pretty good with Jalen Jones there. They're hoping that Ken Webster comes back at the level that he showed before the injury against Florida State. They're really hopeful that he can come back as that level of player. A lot of the times it happens that way. Sometimes it doesn't. It did not happen that way for Tony Connor. But if Webster comes back at that level, if Jalen Jones continues to progress, Jalen Julius is a guy that started 7 or 8 games last year, was held out of spring, mostly with an injury. You know, they could have several players in a rotation at corner, and if they like those guys, it's quite possible that Hartsfield moves back to one of the safety spots because, frankly, that's an area they want to get better. We heard McGriff tell us he wants to see Ole Miss really get better in the middle of the defense, and he's talking about linebackers on through to the back of the secondary, and that's kind of his focus moving from spring into off season. You know, you can never – it's always hard to tell, Logan, how much improvement is actually made in spring football because of the players who are held out and because you just – you know, it's your offense going against your defense, so either your offense looks really good. If that's the case, then it makes you wonder about your defense. Well, you know, that's kind of where Ole Miss was in the spring. There were some explosive plays allowed on defense. You know, they averaged 246 rushing yards allowed last year. Obviously, they're trying to get better at a number of places on defense. Linebacker comes to mind specifically. But, you know, there's just a lot to work on there. They didn't allow as many explosive plays, but they didn't reduce them as far as they would like to. So, you know, defensively, what will the Rebels look like in 2017? I think there was some improvement in the spring, you know. But the rest, there's a lot of stuff that has to go right for them to be the defense that they want to be. There's a lot of player development that has to take place. There's a lot of understanding of schemes. Now, you know, we've heard repeatedly that these schemes are scaled back and that players are able to think less and react and play faster. You know, we saw some of that in the spring. I'm not sold that this defense is going to be remarkably improved. I think it can be better. Depth is going to be a real issue on that side. of the ball. Offensively, Logan, they're very good at receiver. They are very good at receiver. That's been a focal point of recruiting for several years, not just one or two. And DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown are guys who have star potential, very big, very physical. And as we talk about Miles Hartsfield, I guess the biggest play that people who watch the spring game remember is how easily it seemed that A.J. Brown just ripped him off when he was trying to make a one-on-one tackle in the middle of the field and turned it up and completed about a 70-yard touchdown play. In a nutshell, offense has a chance to be really good at Ole Miss next year. I like the receivers. I like the quarterback. They need Shea Patterson to stay healthy. I like this offensive line because they've put so much focus on it in recruiting, and the best offensive lines have older guys, have guys who have been redshirted, upperclassmen, juniors, and seniors, and you've got a lot of that on this line. Greg Little is a sophomore at left tackle, but he's not so solidly entrenched in that position as Laramie Tunsil was as a sophomore. We've seen a lot of Rod Taylor, a senior, at left tackle, and Taylor's played both sides of the line. I mean, left tackle and right tackle, not that he's played defense. I think you're going to see them mix and match those tackles a good bit. It wouldn't surprise me if Greg Little was the starter at left tackle, Alex Givens, the third-year sophomore, at right tackle, but Rod Taylor getting into the game a lot. So got a chance to be good on offense, and we'll just see where the Rebels are defensively when the season gets underway. Shifting gears, Logan, let's talk baseball a little bit. Who does State have this weekend?
State travels to South Carolina this weekend. The thing with that is just how many players are going to be able to load up on the bus and take to South Carolina with them. Andy Canizero, we spoke to him earlier in the day, and he was talking about, you know, most teams have to meet to figure out who's traveling on a given weekend, you know, and they may have to leave some guys at home that, you know, normally play for them. In Mississippi State's case, they just got to find out who's healthy enough to make the trip. I mean, they've had so many injuries this year, especially on the pitching staff and in the bullpen specifically. They're down so many arms at this point in the season. It's really remarkable what they've been able to do here as of late. I mean, they're tied for first place in the SEC, and they don't even know who their Saturday and Sunday starters are from week to week. I mean, it's going to be TBA again this week on Saturday and Sunday. They know that they've got a Friday night guy in Connor Pilkington. But after that, it's up in the air. It's whoever is available, who maybe you guys have thrown on Friday, or maybe you didn't throw on the first two games, or any number of things. They're just so banged up right now, and they're still being able to win ball games. And watched them this past weekend was really my first time to see them in quite some time. I saw them play one game against Florida International last week, and then I saw them this past weekend, and they won 2 out of 3 against Kentucky, a very good Kentucky team this year, ranked number 8 in the country, and swung the bats really, really well on the weekend. Mississippi State swung it even better. I mean, Brent Rooker is hitting the ball right now better than probably any hitter that I've seen in all my years of covering college baseball. I mean, he's just locked in at the plate. I mean, I've covered some good hitters. I mean, you look at a guy like Hunter Renfrow, I've covered Chris Tomlin, Zach Cozart up there at Ole Miss when I covered them. But I've covered some guys that are having a lot of success in major leagues. And Brent Rooker is just on fire at the plate right now. And in this past week, he was named SEC Player of the Week for the second straight week, National Player of the Week for the second straight week. He went 10 for 16, hit double, 6 home runs. I mean, he's doing it all at the plate. It's not just all power either. I mean, he's hitting ball at all sides of the field. Last week, he had a walk-off homer on Wednesday night against Florida International in the 10th inning. And then turns around on Super Bowl on Saturday. Three home runs in that game, the first of which was a grand slam to get Mississippi State in the lead. I mean, it's just remarkable what he's doing at the plate right now. And he's a guy that you would typically see the number 4 hole, but he's hit number 2 right behind Jake Megan with the top of that lineup. And every time that line over, and Mississippi State knows they're going to get some guys on base to start things off. I mean, Jake Mangum, you saw what he did a year ago. Led the SEC and hit him. And this year, he's doing pretty well, but he's been overshadowed by what Rutgers needs in the conference in just about every offensive category. And he's leading in some of those categories nationally. And I think he leads the SEC in stolen bases as well. So he's just become an all-around player. And this is the guy that had a chance to go pro last year. He was drafted pretty late in the draft. I think it was the 38th round by the Minnesota Twins. And he made the right decision to come back for his junior season. He was one of those draft-level sophomores a year ago. But he's really, really helped his draft stock. He'll probably be going the first round, maybe drop to the second. But he's going to go very high, make a lot of money this year. And just a really incredible, and really, it's kind of helped solidify what is still a pretty young Mississippi State team. They lost 12 or 13 players off of last year's team to the major league. So, it's going to be a rebuilding year, but he's one of those holdovers and has really helped this ball club kind of working along.
Well, Ole Miss goes into the LSU series with momentum, Logan. They won five straight, and they hit 285 as a team against Alabama, swept Alabama last week. And you look at that and you think, well, 285, but where this team has been to hit 285 is really a lift emotionally and in terms of confidence. And they're still only hitting about 247 collectively. As a team, that's number 13 in the SEC, next to last. But the thing is, they have scored runs during this five-game win streak, averaging 6.4 runs per game. And if they can continue to get in that five-run or six-run area, they're going to win a lot of games because of their pitching. Still very good pitching. But before these last five games, Ole Miss went a stretch of 15 out of 20 games, 15 times in the previous 20 games before the five-game win streak, Ole Miss had scored three runs or fewer. Now, they've won a lot of those games, but that's not a long-term recipe for success, and they know that. And they go to LSU with a little bit of momentum offensively. Statistically, they're not going to face the number one pitching staff in the league. That's South Carolina. LSU is number 9 in team ERA. That doesn't mean anything is going to be easy this weekend. And as we've seen from this Ole Miss offense many times this season, it does not take the number 1 pitching team in the league to shut it down. But right now, Ole Miss is playing well offensively and goes to LSU with some momentum. And, they swept two games against Southern Miss, and that's a big deal. Southern Miss is a good team, a number 16 team in the country right now, according to D1Baseball.com. And, those are a good couple of midweek wins. And right now, those wins are the beginning and the end of the five-game win streak. Lots of players contributed Tuesday night in Hattiesburg when Ole Miss won 6-2, led 6-0 in the ninth. But the big takeaway from that game, Logan, was that they won that game and were able to close it with a 3-inning performance from Brady Feigl, who is typically a middle reliever. Ole Miss coach Mike Bianco did not have to go to Dallas Woolfolk in that game. And he's had to use Woolfolk a lot lately, so his closer, and he's the latest in a very good line of closers under Bianco, gets to go to Baton Rouge, go to the LSU series with a little bit of rest. So I think that's going to be important as that series gets underway tonight, Thursday night in Baton Rouge. I'm excited, Logan, to have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series on Easter weekend. I've spent a lot of Easter Sundays at the ballpark and able to avoid that this year. Hey, folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Be sure to check out our news podcast, The Memo, All Things Northeast Mississippi, with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. That comes to you every Wednesday and Friday. And check out Prep Rally for all your high school sports teams with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. That's every Wednesday. Logan and I will be back with you next week, maybe Thursday, maybe Friday. Check either of those days, depends on what's going on. But we'll be back with another round of double coverage.